our meditation today, we hear the words of Psalm 106, the first five verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. You may have heard me tell an incident from my childhood before. When I was about 6 years old, my two-year-old sister was learning, as I had also been taught by my parents, to pray before our family meal and to fold your hands and close your eyes during the prayer. And I noticed that she wasn't closing her eyes during our prayer. So I thought it was my responsibility to tell my dad as soon as the prayer got done. Lois wasn't closing her eyes. And my dad said, so how did you know? I'm still trying to figure out what he meant by that. If you're like me, there can be a danger to things that we repeat over and over and over again. And that happens in a lot of different places in our lives. Sometimes when we hear a certain phrase or are using a certain phrase over and over again, we kind of zone out on what the real meaning of that phrase is. Think about how often we hear the Star Spangled Banner sung, and we think of it as a great, wonderful national anthem and things, but to really think through the lines and the words and what they're standing for and so on probably doesn't happen very often. Or when we say to somebody on the friend we run into, hey, how's it going? Do you really want to know how their life is going? Or maybe it's just a way of greeting them. So sometimes we can just use words and phrases and not really let them register. And that really can happen to me a lot when it comes to my spiritual life, with things in my spiritual life. I have to really try to make myself concentrate to say the Lord's Prayer, to really think about the phrases that I'm using in that beautiful, wonderful prayer that Jesus himself gave us, or the Apostles' Creed, just the phrases of that maybe we use in our church services, or the benediction, you know, the blessing at the end of the service. We just think of that as kind of the ending, but man, if you really stop and look at the wording of that, and no matter which blessing is being used, just all of the beautiful, wonderful things from God that get stuck into that little phrase, those little phrases. And yet, because we hear them so often, we kind of don't appreciate them maybe as deeply as we should. I remember one of my seminary professors used to say, when he was teaching us how to conduct a church service and the liturgy, and he used to say, conduct the liturgy as if you've never gotten to do it before and as if you will never get to do it again. And that often sticks in my mind when I would get ready to prepare for a service, as if you're never going to get to do this again. Do it with some different type of intent. And the first phrase of the psalm before us today is one that I for myself can find easy for me to really not focus on how beautiful it is. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Those words are so familiar. Probably a lot of us use them for our dinner prayers and things. Those words become so familiar for us that we can kind of overlook just how amazing they are and the significance that they have. I used to live in a community that had tremendous wealth in one neighborhood and then tremendous poverty in a neighboring neighborhood very, very near that. And there was a highway that split these two. And it was quite frequent, if you'd be in a store or something, that you would see people from each of these neighborhoods standing in line with you or something. And I always found that it was very easy for me to look at the people who had more than I did and have wishful thinking that I could have those kind of blessings. But I rarely looked at the people who had less than I did and thought about how much greater blessings I had than they did. Something about us as human beings tends to always gravitate and be magnetized to the things we don't have, and how much better our lives would be if we just had more of this and this and this. And how rare it is, quite often, for us to really think about how blessed we are. The rest of the world, for the most part, looks at Americans in awe of the riches and blessings that we have. And yet it's easy for us to always be looking at the people in the better houses or the better cars or who have a little bit more money than we do. That's always the temptation for us. There's spiritual dangers for us when we live in a land of such tremendous blessings, just earthly blessings. It can kind of warp our thinking and sort of cloud our appreciation of the blessings that God has given us. And it can make us be less concerned about eternal treasures in heaven and more focused on trying to make our heaven happen here in this life. And it can cause us, I know for myself, it can cause me to feel like, well, I deserve certain things. When I see what I do have and what I should get in my mind, I can think, well, I deserve these things. And it can certainly make me less grateful for the blessings God has given me. And maybe sometimes envious of other people and those that seem to have more living around me. The familiar words in our text help us to bring this all back into perspective if we let ourselves actually focus on them. Listen again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Who of us can really praise God to the level to which he should be praised here in this fallen world? Now, the psalmist here is describing a quality in the heart of God toward us that ultimately, if you think about it, is relating to what happened on the cross. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. There is no greater act of mercy that the God of heaven has shown you than sending his Son into the world to be the atoning sacrifice for all the things that would have kept you and me out of heaven. All the wickedness inside of us and evil and sin in our hearts and minds and lives, that our Lord Jesus came to pay for all of that. That is nothing but the mercy of God that caused this whole mission of Christ to take place. And so the psalmist is taking us to the cross first and saying, let's just stand in the shadow of this cross first and think what that means for you in your future and what that's going to mean for where you get to spend eternity by faith in that Savior. He takes us there first. And then he says, okay, now go back and look at all the other things in your life, all the other earthly things that we get in this life. So God would have us, in the light of his grace and in the light of his mercy through Christ, he would have us take a brand new look at all the things that we get to enjoy in this life. I'm going to give you a kind of an illustration around a real story that happened back in 2022, so just 3 years ago. There was a gentleman driving through a neighborhood at midnight. He was on his way home from work, and he suddenly saw a house that was on fire. This was in Indianapolis. Saw a house that was on fire, and he ran up to the back door and banged on the door and was yelling and yelling, and he finally kicked the door down to go in and see if anybody was in the house. Turned out that there were 4 children he found in an upstairs bedroom as the roof was on fire above them. And he got them out, brought them out, and then one of them said to him that there was one more child still in the house in a different bedroom. He ran back into the house. Timbers were falling in on him now. He was getting burned. He had a large cut on his arms and things. And he finally found this other child and brought the child back out into the yard. And by then, fire trucks had arrived. And you can actually watch this on a police cam video of this man rescuing this child and falling down nearly in death on the ground and had to be dealt with medically and things himself. Now imagine, if you will, imagine if that man, 3 years later, shows up at Christmas time for these children that he saved. Okay? Imagine if he shows up 3 years later and he brings one of them, let's say they're now in high school, he brings one of them a green sweater as a Christmas gift. And it's not the favorite color of the child. But can you imagine how that child's going to take that gift and look at it and wear it completely differently than before, knowing and understanding what this man has done? There may be gifts in your life that God gives you and me in our earthly lives that aren't exactly what we wish we had. We maybe wish we had more and better. But God wants us to look at that gift from God, whatever it is, with the cross in mind. And what our Savior has spared us from, the torment of hell itself, so that we could someday live forever with Him in the perfect life of heaven and get to enjoy that forever. It's going to last forever. So whatever our situation is in life, whatever gifts God gives you now in this life, He would have you look at them, even though you maybe wish you had something better, and just cherish and appreciate it because they have come from the hand of the one who died for you and who has lived through the grave so that you can have that happen to you someday. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Amen. Please join me in a prayer for Friday morning. This is on page 170 in the front part of the hymn book. Page 170, and please rise as we join together in that prayer. I know those of you in the orchestra don't have this with you, maybe, but we can listen along, okay? Please join me for the prayer for Friday morning on the page 170. Abba, my dear Father, help me this morning and always that I may worship You in spirit and truth, and desire nothing but that which is in accord with Your will. Enlighten me with Your Holy Spirit, and cleanse my conscience from all dead works, that today and evermore I may serve You in faith in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and in love to Him. For You have given and bestowed upon me Your beloved Son, who has made to me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Grant also that I may not resist Your grace and turn Your great gift from me, but that I may receive Your Son in my heart and not live to myself, but to Him who was delivered for my sins and was raised again for my justification. Lord, this shall be my glory and my joy, to draw from You as the true fountain for grace, strength and blessing unto every good work. Do not leave me nor forsake me. Amen. Can I ask that we be seated so we can more wonderfully enjoy the beautiful music of our orchestra?
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.